All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening. This is American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. Today is episode 24. It's the 20th of December, 2021. Tonight, we're going to be leaving behind a little bit of our preparations and all that cool stuff that we've been talking about. And please check out some of those previous shows. I find them to be important for people who don't understand the EMP threat, who don't understand preparedness at the individual level, to the family level, to the community level. I think they will be most helpful to you. I gave plenty of resources. I've given plenty of books to read, which I strongly suggest you increase your knowledge, buy yourself some books. But tonight we are going to take a venture down a road of a topic that I have been rolling around in my head ever since I was more or less forced out of the government. Now, I was forced out of the government back in around mid-September, and I had served my country faithfully for working for the federal government for the last 11 years, and in the military for 4 years. And because I don't align politically with this current administration, and because I dared talk to groups of people who don't align politically with this administration, I was more or less forced to be let go. I don't want to get I don't want to get too much further into the weeds on that. That's going to be a discussion that one of these days, when I'm not extremely irritable about it, maybe I'll talk about it. But let's just say this. The deep state is live, and it is well. And if you find yourself a patriot working in this government, you are the enemy. If you don't believe that, you are ignorant. I have been in this government, for far too long to not see the divided line that happened whenever Barack Obama took over as the president. And then we saw the line get even more well-defined when Donald Trump took over as president. And then the line was blurred to the point that there was no more line. It was a cliff. You were either on Biden's side, the side of the extreme left, or you were going to get pushed off the cliff. I believe events like January 6th were a complete conspiracy. I believe that the conspiracy trial that was January 6th Commission even recently ousted themselves, saying that there was no conspiracy. The FBI even said there was no conspiracy, yet the FBI had a large part to play in the January 6th attempted coup d'etat, right? Isn't that amazing? So here I sit as a pissed off American. I was probably, I don't know, if I really wanted to stretch this out, 10 years away from retirement, probably would have had a little bit of money in the bank from it, and life would have been good, you know, if we could have just acted as normal Americans, acted as normal citizens, and tried to get along with each other, maybe didn't try to burn down all the cities, and maybe politicians shouldn't have bailed out those people, or said that people like me in my position were evil and were the scum of the earth, and that we should have been all fired and prosecuted and defunded. Trust me, hey, politicians that agree with that, I want to give you some insight. Your friends in Antifa were telling us while we were working in the Portland, Oregon riots that one of these days we're going to get our man in office. And when we do, you people will be hung from the light poles. That's your constituents, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a completely corrupted government. It is corrupted from top down, bottom up, inside and out, and in every dimension. It does not help us anymore to be good within a completely corruptible system. I find that hard for myself to say that, because for a while I said, hey, you know, at least I'm a good guy in a corrupted system. And hopefully, you know, if I come across that situation where, you know, I can deal with something on a policing matters wise or some sort of law enforcement matters, that at least you have a fair advocate and someone like me who believes in the Constitution, who believes in your Bill of Rights, and I believe that we should treat everybody humanely and as equitable as possible. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to give you the blue ribbon just because you showed up. No, I don't care. If you came in 10th place, hey, kid, sorry, try a little harder and come back. I don't believe in giving everyone awards. But as humans, in the spirit of Philadelphia, in the spirit of brotherly love, as what Jesus has commanded us, we should attempt to love thy neighbor, treat thy neighbor as we treat ourselves. We should think that, you know, if I would be ugly to these people, would they be ugly back to me? If I were to try and track down these people through the woods and through their homes and, you know, let's say just make up all different types of excuses as to why we can intimidate and scare them and then throw them in a solitary confinement for 5 months or more, would I want that done to me and my family? Well, politics is nothing more than a boxing match between politicians. And you know who the fans are? The people who are sitting on the sides watching this epic boxing match between totalitarianism and authoritarianism. And somewhere off to the sides, the Republic is going, this is rigged. This boxing match is rigged all day long. Why do we even pay homage to these people? Why are we even here watching these people duke it out and fight like at the Capitol? When you see two congressmen going back and forth at it, or two senators going back and forth at it, I'm sure it's proper etiquette to say my friend from the aisle, or you know, the gentlewoman over there, or the gentleman over there. But if you align yourself politically, if you yoke yourself with these other people who are spirited against the government, they have a spirit of animosity, a spirit of hatred for the American people. If you yoke yourself up with them, Republicans, then you become no different than the Democrats. Because in our eyes, we voted for you to do a job, not to go make friends. Something I used to tell a lot of the guys that I worked with, and something I've told some people in the public before, when they say, hey, why aren't you officer friendly? I always like to greet them with this. I don't get paid to be your friend. I get paid to do my job. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to do my job. And if my job involves gassing your city tonight because you decided to burn half of it down, well, then welcome to my side of the business. But on the other hand, we should also be extending out that olive branch, right? We should be extending out that olive branch to the other side, from the right and to the left, and saying, hey, can we meet in the middle? Right? That's what a fair, normal society would do. But I don't think, and I'm sure many of you agree, and I'm not just saying I don't think, I'm telling you right now, we don't live in a fair and equitable society anymore. If you want to go for a job, and you are white, and you are a male, you are automatically put at the bottom of the list. Now, if you were a, pick any genre of people, if you were a, Hindu man who's becoming a Korean woman, because that's what he identifies as now. Well, that crazy SOB just got ejected all the way up to the second of the list. And I don't understand why. It should come down to, are you good at your job? And do you have the credentials and the bona fides to back that up? And what references do you have to help establish how good of a worker you are? It shouldn't be what color you are. It shouldn't be what sex you think you are or what sex you think you like for the day. It should not be any of this crazy nonsense. It should be, are you worth the job to be given to? Was Joe Biden worth the effort? Hey, let me ask something, Democrats. Was Joe Biden worth the effort of burning down cities for an entire year in order to get him into the office, only to seem that he's going to be taken out of the office within, what, maybe a matter of months now? Something that so many people claim, so many radio hosts and talk show hosts, from the mainstream media to alternative news, the guys like me that were on the field talking amongst ourselves, it looks like Biden is not going to last very long. He sleeps through half of his conferences. He stutters extremely bad. And it's not because he's always had a stuttering problem. It's because he's elderly. Joe Biden should be falling asleep on a golf cart somewhere right now at a golf course and enjoying the time, the little time that he has left on Earth. Not being the most powerful man on Earth and not even knowing which way to exit the White House. Joe Biden, that was your pick. I'm sure Joe Biden was a safe pick. Kamala Harris is an absolute train wreck. So, in a lot of ways, she's a safe bet too, because no one's going to care about Kamala. She doesn't know what she's doing. If anything, she was told to make herself look so bad that by the time she has the carpet yanked out from underneath her, no one will question it. Kamala, you suck. Bye. Here's a taxi. Get in it and get away from the White House, Kamala. But on the other hand, we have to think, why did you pick these two scumbags? During the race, Kamala Harris said, Joe Biden is creepy. He's old. He's degenerate. He's the old, rich, white Democrat, and that's what's wrong with the Democratic Party. Also said that he was racist. All of these things are accurate. All of them are true. Biden really didn't have much defense for any of that. And yet, whenever he was told that he won the election, quote-unquote won the election, he chose Kamala Harris to be the vice president. He said, I got to have someone, it's got to be a female. Why does it have to be a female, Joe? Was there no one else, was there no other women that were more capable of stepping up to being the second most powerful person on Earth. Really? Kamala Harris. That was your pick, huh? All right. One thing I want to make very certain to people is that Kamala Harris was selected, not elected. She was selected to be a scapegoat for something nefarious, just like Joe Biden. Joe Biden was selected to be a scapegoat for something very nefarious. And we see, as they are tearing down the foundations and principles of this country, they are going to start to make us sound like and look like some other countries that are on some lists I'm going to read to you here in a little while. So, welcome to the introduction of this week's talk. What does it mean to be an American? We'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Welcome back. We are talking about what does it mean to be an American. I'd like to start you off with a verse for the day. Romans 10:21. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hand to a disobedient an obstinate people. What does that mean to you? And why does that reflect the current status of the United States? Well, we have thrown God into the gutter, along with the trash. We more or less have allowed our country to attack Christ. And I mean our country, our politicians, our way of life, because our politicians are not our country. We the people set the standards. We the people control the votes. We the people control the infrastructure. We the people are your military, your law enforcement, your doctors, your nurses, your bread makers, your candle makers. We're the ones swinging the axes and the shovels, building your roads and your buildings. We're the ones watching your kids while you go out. We're the ones teaching your kids. It's we, the people. The Constitution never says anything about we, the government. But I want you to consider that we, the people, have given so much power to those, the government, that it seems like we just may not get it back unless we have a civil war. Now, I hear a lot of people still murmuring and talking about some sort of a peaceful divorce. Look, that theoretical has far sailed from this country. I don't think you could have a confederate of states that can align themselves to peacefully separate from the Union anymore. I mean, when you think about it, how could that even happen if we have a divorce within this country? Let's just take Texas for example. Texas will separate itself, call for its independence again. But what about the nuclear bases, the military bases? What about all the government facilities? What about all the government employees and law enforcement as well? A large amount of it. And the border. What about the oil refinery? Texas has the largest oil refinery in the United States. We reproduce the most. We control the most. It is what has set Texas up to be one of the top economic powers in the world as a state, not a country. So, if you were an evil dictator, would you let that go? If you were an authoritative or totalitarianism-like government, would you let such a resource just melt right out of your hands? I don't think so. I think they would do whatever they could to hang on to Texas. Texas makes up almost 80% of the military. You would lose one of your biggest assets to this country if you lost Texas. Now, even enemy states like Russia and some other states that are out there have said that if they invaded the United States, they would have to create a special plan on how to take down Texas. When we have other states, other enemy states that are out there that are so worried just about my home state, just about Texas, they're not too worried about Wisconsin or Rhode Island or Maine. They're not too worried about some of these other states, but I think they should be, because the American people, even though you may be a little bit more silent than we in Texas, we are the most dangerous force on earth because of the Second Amendment. Because of our united beliefs in the rights of Americans, our faithful standing within the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and for the fact that we will gladly go to war with any country to include our own in order to keep it. But if we don't, I want to give you a small list of states that we may end up sounding a little bit like. And I'm not really going very sci-fi with this. I think we're pretty close to it. If we don't watch ourselves and we don't watch what we're doing, we're not too far away from this. So for starters, let's go over some quick definitions. What is a constitutional republic? Well, a constitutional republic means that it is one in which, rather than directly governing, the people select some of their members to temporarily serve in political office. The Constitution part means that both the citizens and their governing officials are bound to follow the rules established in that Constitution. Doesn't it sound like the people in politics running our country need to reread this statement? While often categorized as a democracy, the United States is more accurately defined as a constitutional federal republic. What does this mean? Constitutional. It refers to the fact that the government in the United States is based on a constitution, which is the supreme law of the United States. The Constitution not only provides the framework for how the federal and state governments are structured, but also places significant limits on their powers. Federal. Federal means that there is both a national government and governments of the 50 states. Republic. A republic is a form of government in which the people hold power but elect representatives to exercise that power. We hold the power. It's in the definition. We, the Americans, we, the people, print out the sticker, put it on your car. We, the people, own this damn country, not the politicians. We need to start waking up to that fact. Now then, let's take a look at this or these other forms of governments that are also favored by some people in America, to include politicians, authoritarianism, which is a principle of blind submission to authority, as opposed to individual freedom of thought and action. And government authoritarianism denotes any political system that concentrates power in the hands of a leader or a small elite that is not constitutionally responsible to the body of the people. Authoritarian leaders often exercise power arbitrarily and without regard to existing bodies of law, and they usually cannot be replaced by citizens choosing freely among various competitors in elections. The freedom to create opposition political parties or other alternative political groupings with which to compete for power with the ruling group is either limited or it's non-existent in authoritarian regimes. Authoritarianism thus stands in fundamental contrast to democracy. All right, real quick, democracy, demokratia, developed in Athens, Greece. When it was developed, only a couple years after being developed, the guy who developed it said, "This is the worst idea I've ever had in my life. People aren't qualified for democracy." Here's your little pop quiz for the night. Who created democracy? It also, authoritarianism, it also differs from totalitarianism. However, since authoritarian governments usually have no highly developed guiding ideology, tolerate some pluralism in social organization, lack the power to mobilize the entire population in pursuit of national goals, and exercise power within relatively predictable limits. Examples of authoritarian regimes, according to some scholars, include the pro-Western military dictatorships that existed in Latin America and elsewhere in the second half of the 20th century. So, just for fun's sake, let's go over some current authoritarian governments that you probably didn't know about. The United Arab Emirates, Azerbaijan, Afghanistan, Iran, Laos, Burundi, Libya, Sudan, Yemen, Guinea-Bissau, Uzbekistan, Saudi Arabia, Tajikistan, Equatorial Guinea, Turkmenistan, Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic, Chad, Syria, and everybody's favorite, North Korea. Multiple countries on this list have gone through a civil war in the past 60 to 70 years, or have been in some sort of an actual war within the past 50 years. And we have people who very much like the dictatorship in this country. It is mind-blowing to see people walking around with dictators on their shirts or waving the flag of the hammer and sickle. All right, so let's go over another form of government, totalitarianism. Totalitarianism is a form of government that theoretically permits no individual freedom and that seeks to subordinate all aspects of individual life to the authority of the state. Italian dictator Benito Mussolini coined the term totalitario in the early 1920s to characterize the new fascist state of Italy, which he further described as all within the state, none outside the state, none against the state. By the beginning of World War II, totalitarian had become synonymous with absolute and oppressive single-party governments. Other modern examples of totalitarianism states included the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin, who killed, about 20 million people? Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler, who killed between 8 and 12 million people, and the People's Republic of China under Mao Zedong, who some experts say killed maybe between 60 and 80 million people, and North Korea under the Kim dynasty, which is still reigning right now, who has killed probably half their population with every new ruler. They starve. They're constantly starving. For one thing, the rulers are a bunch of idiots. They're a bunch of egomaniacs. And the people are so afraid to do anything and so conditionalized, institutionalized. I get so mad thinking about this that I stutter like Joe Biden. They're so brainwashed. They're so delusional that they don't even fight back, yet they're the ones with the guns in their hands. Now, Kim Jong-un will kill any member of his family to stay in power. How much longer will it be till America eventually breaks down? Because if we're already saying that the Constitution is a living document and we can change it, then that means we can also abolish it. And since we want to get rid of the First, Second, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, Eighth Amendments, well, then you really don't have any rights anymore. If we have politicians who say they're socialists and communists, if we have politicians who say that they support socialism and communism to the point that they will bail these people out of jail while they're burning your city down, while they also sent me and my friends there to fight them, what type of government do we have? Mind you, not everyone who works in the government is bad. I would like to think most of us are good, but that's just my rough estimate. Most of us are good. I can tell you that 75% of who's in the government right now is a leftist, though. I promise you that. 75%. When it comes to law enforcement, maybe 80% are pro-right. That's a lot higher number than what I thought a couple years ago. And we have people that, it's worse than this. We have people that are in charge of the rules and the laws and the applicability of them. Not just the enforcing, but the people who create the laws, Congress. The people who enforce the laws, the legislative branch. And then you have the enforcers of the law. Now, the congressmen and senators will come up with the most dumbass laws you've ever heard of in your life that are completely unconstitutional, that are against your Bill of Rights, sometimes inhumane. They don't even sound American anymore when they start to speak. And then you have the George Soros-funded attorney generals and the AUSAs, the assistant U.S. attorneys, and then the DAs, the district attorneys or the state attorneys, who, like what we saw with the Kenosha kid, will do any dastardly deed available in order to put a good patriot away. Where am I getting at with all this? Well, if we continue to not vote and we continue to not do the things we should be in this country, well, let's just say this. If we continue to vote and our votes don't get recognized because our votes are being stolen, then when the Civil War happens, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm probably going to walk out to my porch with my coffee, smoking my pipe one morning, and I'll go, oh, look at that, the city's on fire. I knew Civil War was coming. Well, time to feed my chickens. Because I live out in the country and not in the city. Look, I like to joke around, and I like to make fun of people. I'm not talking about anybody specifically, but if I hit a hot topic on you, if I said something that singed your nerves a little bit, well, that's not a good thing. Because I'm only talking about the people who want to take down the country. I'm only talking about the people who are weak-minded, the people who are enabling others to destroy our country, and people who are subverting the United States and lying to us. I'm talking about people who are not patriots. So I don't think I'm talking really to anybody that's directly being affected in this group of small listeners that we have. But if you're on the left and you're listening, I'll sit back and enjoy. I'm going to talk some crazy smack about you. because the left is destroying our country. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. The left is destroying our country. And the Republicans are not helping either. Build Back Better. For right now, thanks to Joe Manchin, it's not going to go through. But hey, that man could be taken off. He could be disappeared. He could drive into an explosion. All this crazy stuff that we see happen around the politicians and around the elite where they just disappear or they get assassinated or, you know, they accidentally shoot themselves in the back of the head 6 times with a revolver. All that crazy stuff. They will threaten and harass and humiliate and destroy anybody in their path because they own the ability to do it with laws and lawmakers and law enforcers. Does that not worry you a little bit, America? Does that not worry you? Look what happened with January 6th, and this nonsense is still being talked about, yet the January 6th Commission has even said, well, there was really nothing here. If anything, if we keep talking about this, we're going to have to start exposing the FBI's involvement and then Nancy Pelosi's involvement. That's why the January 6th Commission is not going to go very, very, very far. That's why, like, literally, besides being harassed by the FBI, no one's really been charged with any felonious crimes. Not that I'm really aware of. Maybe the guy who shot Ashley Babbitt should have been. But maybe we should be asking, who told him to shoot Ashley Babbitt? Now look, in the Capitol, when you have all these dignitaries there, all these high-ranking people of the government, to include the Speaker of the House, the Vice President, there are levels of protection there that have to be there. There are levels of lethality that have to be there. We do have to protect the hierarchy of our government. We would be foolish not to. However, I watched dozens of hours, and that doesn't sound like a lot until you sit in front of a computer for like 7 or 8 days straight reviewing footage of law enforcement allowing people into the Capitol and of CAT teams or some sort of an SRT team right there by Ashley Babbitt, smoking and joking, not moving people away from this barrier where this door was, where they broke it down and Ashley Babbitt went through. Which, hey, by the way, she broke the law, so I'm trying to be as fair as possible here. But that team didn't move them. That team, I would think, would have the non-lethal capability through some sort of smoke, some sort of gas, PLS system, which is a paintball gun, a 303, which is another non-lethal. You could have used a damn baton and pushed people out of the way, get back. We all know how to do this, gentlemen. Why wasn't it done? Why did it get to the point Ashley Babbitt was shot? And who the hell said that guy should shoot her? If we already know this guy's a knucklehead, what's he even doing here? It's a lot of questions. I don't have a lot of answers. My Socratic method here, it's exhausting, but it should be more exhaustive because we the people don't get to ask these questions. We don't get to call Congress to the red carpet. We the people who vote these people in, we don't get to challenge them to come to the carpet and scold them for hours and days and put it on Fox News and C-SPAN and CNN. They get to do it to us, though, and sit in their high-arched back seats and look down upon us, we the people, those lowly, crappy people, like if they're lords of the manor and we're the serfs. Let's get back to this. General characteristics of totalitarianism. In the broadest sense, totalitarianism is characterized by a strong central rule that attempts to control and direct all aspects of individual life through coercion and repression. Historical examples of such centralized totalitarianism rule include the Mauryan dynasty of India, the Qin dynasty of China, and the reign of Zulu chief Shaka, Nazi Germany, and the Soviet Union during the Stalin era were the first examples of decentralized or popular totalitarianism. Oh, it was popular. In which the state achieved overwhelming popular support for its leadership. That support was not spontaneous. Its genesis depended on a charismatic leader, and it was made possible only by modern developments in communication and transportation. Okay, so I just read that verbatim from Britannica. You can go to Britannica.com and look at it. I made none of that up. But let me tell you something really, really quick here before we go to a break. Hitler and Stalin were elected because they were charismatic leaders and they were popular. However, review Night of the Long Knives, they also killed, murdered openly the people who were running against them politically. And then burned every book that was out there that taught independent thinking or forms of history. And they created their new religion. They created their own Nazi Christian religion. They created and we're talking about Nazi Germany. They created their own military, the SS, which was a completely satanic-based military. And I don't even want to go into or share with you those things, but I am going to. Next week, stay tuned, we're talking about Nazi Germany. But for right now, I want to get this across to you. These people were elected into these positions after the countries both did the same thing. They went through an extremely hard economic collapse. They were embarrassed on the world stage from World War I. They went through an economic collapse, and they had a spur of socialism and then communism. Socialism took off in Nazi Germany. Communism, through Marxists and the Leninists, took off in Russia. And these two empires grew at the same time. Now, Russia was not nearly as manufacturing blessed or industrious as Nazi Germany, nor was the technology there. The technology, man, hey, you can listen to the experts. They were just born geniuses, or it was aliens that came from another dimension. At the end of the day, when you're fighting them, it doesn't matter. Bullets are bullets. Bad guys are bad guys. I don't care if E.T. gave it to them or if they were just baby Einsteins who defected from Germany and came over here. But nonetheless, what path are we on right now? We embrace socialism and communism in certain sects of our society right now. We actually institute socialism through the IRS and through the Social Security. We also love us some Bernie Sanders, who is a diehard socialist. So is AOC and the Squad, just like Black Lives Matter, Marxist movement, with a sprinkle of witchcraft in it. So we have all that element already happening, just like what was, similar to these other two former empires. And then the economic collapse, and then World War. Well, we're very close to economic collapse, and then we're very close to World War. And what happened in both these countries during that time? Well, you had authoritarian regimes pop up, and they put a stranglehold on everything from what your kids were taught to where you could go eat at, how you could dress, how you could speak, things you could say openly, things you couldn't. You had to go into the military. You had to do all these things. Your independence was gone. So, how far are we from that? Well, in America, I think we have states and people in states who are going to declare themselves part of the United Communist States. And I think people are going to flock to those states. And it'll probably be the Eastern side. Now, this is just my guesstimation from my travelings around the country and my experience in the government. between the West Coast and the East Coast, I could very easily see them separating, becoming two different halves of the same coin. Now, halves, flip that coin over. The central part of America is going to be where rugged individualism still is. Now, you're going to have people who are going to flee these states to go one to the other, to flee the coasts and flee the democratic hellholes that are now socialist utopia, or they are going to go into a little bit freer states, back into the wilderness. Because wherever this happens, it will more than likely be after a war. And during a world war, we'll probably be in a civil war. And a civil war is something that will probably last for generations, especially once this country is eventually taken over. And I don't mean to say that as in it's a finality. I'm just telling you that is the end goal. The end goal is for us not to have a country with borders or with freedoms or with people with guns and independence. The end goal is for us to all to be subservient serfs of the New World Order. They want to control America. They want to take us off the playing board. And they will do whatever they can to do that. And if it's bioweaponry, if it's an EMP, if it's nuclear war, world war, a total invasion of the United States because Joe Biden lost his mind and now he's going to start nuking people around the country. Hey, man, think of something crazy as to how you can destroy the United States. And it's probably been thought of by these people. I'm not even joking. There is a list that was wrote by movie directors, screenwriters, that depicts all these different types of scenarios that the government can use to practice for all different types of situations. Some of the things I just mentioned are on that list. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to get back to this.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing, and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809. 627-3809.
And we're back. This is American Vindicta. Thank you for joining me. Please spread the message. Spread the show. Try and get this information out there. You know, it's not a popularity contest. I am trying to warn people. There are still people out there who have not woken up to this yet. There are still people out there who don't know how to prepare, who don't know their history, who aren't paying attention to politics. But, you know, they can tell you every episode of SpongeBob SquarePants. They can tell you every fantasy football player that they have. We have people who pay attention too much to the bread and circus, and they don't pay attention enough to the gladiators or the innocents that are being fed to the lions. We need to pay attention. We have people that are in these gladiatorial pits right now who are fighting for this country from all walks of life. All walks of life. And, you know, from politics to teachers to parents to philosophical writers. We have people who are in our government who are doing it. We have people in the military, people in sports, even very little actors for some reason. But we have people from all walks of life who are out there and who are engaging, trying to wake up the good people of the United States so that we save our country. Because we're going to fall into the wrong type of government if we don't wake up and we don't take this country back. Now, I'm not going to give you all these different reasons or abilities of how. I can just tell you this much. If we don't take the country back, if our voices are not heard and respected and feared, we're going to have a civil war in this country. People are not going to take being bullied around by the government. It's just not going to happen. That's not within the American genome. So, let's talk about totalitarian governments. Now, this is current and past totalitarian governments. I'm not going to give you the dates on very many of these, only a few of them that actually matter. But let's go into the, and I'll tell you when they're active, but let's go into past totalitarian governments. Oh, by the way, this is all since the 1920s. Mongolian People's Republic, Kingdom of Italy, the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the Manchukuo Empire of Manchuria, the Greater German Reich, 1933 to 1945, Empire of Japan, 1940 to 1945, National Legionary State, Independent State of Croatia, Italian Social Republic, 1943 to 1945, People's Socialist Republic of Albania, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, active, that's North Korea, Hungarian People's Republic, People's Republic of China, active, Socialist Republic of the Union of Burma, Equatorial Guinea, Socialist Republic of Romania, Democratic Kampuchea, Turkmenistan, Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, active. That would be the Taliban. Thank you, Joe Biden, for that horrible job. The state of Eritrea, active. Islamic State of Syria and Iraq, 2014 to 2019. We're going to be talking a little bit tomorrow about dictators and the dictators that were from around the world and the different types of democracies. It's a little bit of a history lesson with Doug. Hey, this is one of the things that I really wish I would have sought after in my career was being a history teacher. But I see now that a 6 foot, 280 pound history teacher with a beard, a ponytail, and covered in tattoos from head to toe, I'm probably not going to be very welcomed in most schools. And even so, I'm going to tell you history, which is true and it's brutal and it's ugly. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, especially not for the kiddies. Our children need to be properly educated so they don't grow up to be idiots like the people that are walking around in this country right now. Like people who would download Pokemon Go and play in the middle of the freaking highway. Yes, I ran into that before. Almost ran into them before. Or who would actually run into a federal building through the armed security to chase down a Pokemon. My God, am I embarrassed to be an American. But I'm not embarrassed of you. I have a title, a definition for what I'm speaking of. I thought of it today, heading to the bank. I had an epiphany. I said, what do I call people like me and people that are like me? And because I like to talk about the post-apocalyptic. I like to talk about the dystopian future we have in America. So, after the traditions of the military and the government, I have came up with an acronym. PAP. Post-Apocalyptic Patriots. The PAP. All of you post-apocalyptic patriots out there, you know what we're getting ready for, and you know what you're getting ready for. Keep training. Don't stop believing in God. Keep getting closer to God. Draw nearer to Him. Pick up that Bible a little bit more than you do your phone. It'll do your soul some good. And spread the message. Also spread the message to people that you need to get in shape. Get up. Go for a walk. Assemble a walking team within your town. Get people off the couch. Teach people how to do something. Teach people a skill if you have the ability to. And be learning as much as you can every day. Keep preparing with your food, with your water, and your basic preparing fundamentals. Love your family. Draw nearer to your children. Don't push them away with your phone. Don't push them away with your hobbies. Our kids are our future. Draw near to them. Stand up for your rights. Stand up for this country. Stand up for God. I'm Doug Thornton. This is American Vindicta. Out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.